Today on Life Talk.
What's the evidence of being filled with the Spirit? I will tell you, it is spiritual fruit. Gifts don't equate into fruit. Gifts are sown, fruit is grown.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you. LifeTalkRadio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hi, everyone. Well, as always, I'm so excited about our series on the gifts of the Spirit. So far, we've looked at 6 of the 9 gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12. We've noted that these 9 gifts can be broken down into 3 key categories: revelation gifts, power gifts, and the utterance gifts. In our last Life Talk broadcast, we've studied the revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, and the power gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, and miracles. And this time we're going to explore the utterance gifts, and those are prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. I know you're as eager as I am to get started, so let's get started as I share part 2 of the message, the utterance gifts, from our series entitled The Gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're reading out of 1 Corinthians 12, where the gifts are first mentioned. There are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. You notice he's saying same Spirit, same Spirit, same Spirit. Do you think he wants us to understand they all come from the same Spirit, Holy Spirit? Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. And this is where we are going to be tonight, starting in verse 10, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wants to. So, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues are the 3 vocal or utterance gifts. So let's begin with the gift of prophecy. Now, the Bible teaches that the gift of prophecy is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. This will be the effect when God speaks a fresh word into a situation. Even if it's a warning, it will edify the true believer because they know God gave me this and God's taking care of me and God's watching out for me, and that's why he gave me this warning. So even a warning brings a level of comfort. And the Bible says that every Christian should desire the gift of prophecy. Now, the second utterance gift is, no question about it, the most controversial of the 9 gifts. And I'm just going to lay out the way I come to it, and you can chew the meat and spit out the bones. You know, you can go with it or not. It's okay. We're all still saved. We're all going to go to heaven. If the rapture happened before I'm done, we're still all going up, whether we go with tongues or not, right? Okay. But let's just unpack the word here, the gift of tongues. He says in verse 10, to another is given different kinds of tongues. Now, the word tongue is from the Greek word glossa, meaning a tongue or a language. That's it. That's what it means. We first find the phenomenon of the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost. We all know the story. When the Spirit of God fell on the 120 gathered in the upper room, he manifested as tongues of fire sitting above each of their heads. Now, that was powerful in and of itself, if you can imagine. So it was a visual vision. They saw something. The spirit world manifested in a way that their irises picked up on it and saw it. Now, I'm reading it, Acts 2:4, and they were all filled
with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now here again, he's emphasizing this was from and by the Holy Spirit. Now we know that the tongues that they were speaking were earthly dialects understood by the multitudes gathered for Pentecost. Very important. We're just being honest here. This was not a heavenly language. These were earthly dialects. And I'm going to read the text. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from, look how many people were there for Pentecost, from every nation under heaven. This was a massive crowd. And here's this 120 in the upper room, and the Spirit falls, and they all begin to speak in languages that were earthly, but they had never learned. Now, I counted there were probably at least 21 different languages being spoken right here, right then. So here's 21 different languages sounding out the miraculous works of God, lifting up Jesus Christ, praising his name. All right? 21 different languages. So it was just this amazing miracle. All these languages were flying out of the 120, at least 21 of them. And so it says, when this sound occurred of all these languages, the multitude came together and were confused. Because everyone heard them speak in his what? Say it with me. Own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it then that they are speaking in our language, the language in which we were born? They're Galileans. They don't speak this language. Where'd they learn this? And they could tell that they were common folk as well. They were fishermen. They were blue-collar worker types. They were not learned scholars, just these languages were flowing out of them in perfect diction, and they never learned them. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this be? Then they started blaming them for being drunk. And Peter said, are you crazy? It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We don't drink wine at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, it says, pay attention now because this matters. It says they heard the disciples speaking in their own language. Now, the word language is another Greek word, dialektos. What do we get from that? Dialect, which means conversation, speech, discourse, language, the tongue or language peculiar to any people. They heard them speaking 21 different dialektos, and they'd never learned them. So they're going, what in the world is going on? And right about then is when Peter stood up and preached the first Holy Ghost anointed gospel message, and 3,000 were saved. Amen. Now, so the first manifestation of the gift of tongues was in the form of earthly language, formerly unknown to those who were speaking it. So it was totally supernatural. But now there is a second kind of tongues that is at the center of the controversy surrounding tongues, called an unknown tongue, found in 1 Corinthians 14:2. Now watch what 1 Corinthians 14:2 says. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. Hold on, stop. What is he talking about? Because we just now read that the tongues spoken at Pentecost were understood by men. They heard them speaking in their own language. They were earthly dialectos, dialects, languages. But what is he talking about here when he says, he who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men, but to God? Now look at the next five words. For no one understands him. Well, all right. He can't be talking about the kind of tongues at Pentecost, because at Pentecost, they understood. He's saying explicitly here, there is a tongue men don't understand. There is a tongue that when the Holy Spirit gives it, you're not speaking to men, but you're speaking to God. Am I reading this wrong, or are you reading it with me? This is the New King James Version. It's not the revised Wickwire slanted version. This is the New King James. I'm just wanting you to see, because we're going to pick this apart together. Now, the Bible says that this type of tongue edifies you. You can read these verses that I put in here. Assists you in prayer, stirs up the prophetic ministry, refreshes your soul, gives victory over the devil, and helps you worship in the Spirit. And I gave you the verses for you to look up. But again, I say, he's talking here now about a tongue that is not intended for men. It's intended for God, because no man can understand it. So it can't be an earthly dialect. Now notice, this can't be talking about an earthly language. It's a prayer language for the believer's edification. Look at verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 14. He who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself. But he who prophesies edifies who? So the earthly language, when they spoke in tongues and it was an earthly language, it was to declare to people who could understand it the wonderful works of God. But this second kind of tongue is intended to be prayed to God, and it edifies the prayer. Now, those who teach against this personal devotional gift contend that every time the phrase spoke in tongues is used in the New Testament, it's referring to the same thing that happened at Pentecost, speaking in earthly languages formerly unknown to the speaker. But if you look at a couple of examples, just pulling them out of the book of Acts, for instance, it doesn't make sense. I'll give you a couple of examples. For instance, when the people who were gathered at Cornelius' house to hear the gospel from Peter, when they had received Christ, the book of Acts records, quote, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word." He was preaching the gospel. "And those of the circumcision," the Jews, "who believed were astonished, as many as had followed Peter to Cornelius' house, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." How did they know the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles? Verse 46, "They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Is that what it says? All right. Now, I ask you this question. Why would the recipients need to speak in the tongues of other languages, if that's what it's talking about, to this gathering when they all spoke the same language? If they all spoke the same language, why would they need somebody to speak in tongues, other earthly dialects, that they would not have understood because it wasn't in their language? So I say it couldn't have been, or I suspect it was not, the gift of tongues as in earthly languages, because there was no need for it. They all spoke the same thing. Peter preached to them in the same language, and they all understood it, and they all got saved. So why would they need to speak in the tongues of other earthly dialects? They wouldn't. Now, if the sole purpose of tongues is to speak to people in their own language, then there was no need here, because they were already on the same language page.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, in Acts 19, we find Paul arriving at Ephesus, where he found some disciples of John the Baptist. Now, he says to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And they responded, "We haven't even heard of a Holy Spirit," because they were disciples of John. Well, Paul led them to Christ and baptized them in water and laid hands on them. Let's read what happened. Acts 19, verse 6 records, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they did what? Spoke with tongues and prophesied." Now, the men were about 12 in all. Now, folks, these 12 men all spoke the same language. Paul had likely preached to them in either Aramaic or Greek. So why would the gift of speaking in other earthly languages be needed here? They all spoke in tongues, but why would they need to speak in dialects that these 12 men would not have understood? Why? Was the Holy Ghost confused? Oops, I'm sorry. I thought there was a couple of you that didn't speak the language Peter was speaking in, so I'm moving on through these guys to speak to you in your own language. That's not what happened. I'm moving logically here. Okay? So this is why we believe that 1 Corinthians 14, 2 to 4 informs us there is a private prayer language that edifies the believer and that no man understands. It's a heavenly prayer language that edifies, comforts, and strengthens the believer. Now, let me give a little balance here because some of you are thinking, oh gosh, I'm in a church where if I don't speak in tongues, I'm not as spiritual as the people who do. You would be shocked at the mix that is in our church. We've got tongue talkers. We've got non-tongue talkers. We've got people that were saved out of total paganism. We have people that were raised in church. We have every denomination known to man represented in this congregation. I've done a poll before. We got Baptists. We got Methodists. We got Presbyterians. We got Catholics out the wazoodle. We've got Assembly of God. We've got Pentecostal. We've got Church of God. We've got nothing. It's all here. So no one is ever going to look down on you if you don't have a particular spiritual gift. Now, let me just address it for a minute. Some say that you can't be filled with the Spirit without speaking in these kinds of tongues. I do not see that in Scripture. I can't teach it because I don't see it. The Bible asks rhetorically, do all speak with tongues? And the obvious answer is no. Can you speak with tongues? Yes. Do you have to? No. The Bible says earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, mainly prophecy, but that doesn't mean you can run tongues down and say, well, that's the least of the gifts, so we don't need that one. I've heard that 1,000 times. Listen, I need all the help I can get, but here's the deal. If you don't have the gift of tongues, you're not less than anybody else. For instance, when Peter preached at Pentecost and 3,000 were saved, did 3,000 people speak in tongues? No. Well, at least the Bible doesn't tell us they did. Or when he preached again in Acts chapter 4 and 5,000 were saved, did 5,000 speak in tongues? No. The Bible doesn't say so. The true evidence of being filled with the Spirit is spiritual fruitfulness. Can I say that again? You want to say, what's the evidence of being filled with the Spirit? I will tell you, it is spiritual fruit. Because I know a lot of people that speak in tongues that are as nutty as a jaybird. I mean, a few, not all. I'm saying a few. I'm just saying gifts don't equate into fruit. Gifts are sown, fruit is grown. Okay? So the deal is if you're going to contend that one must speak in tongues in order to be Spirit-filled, you must also take the position that some of the greatest world shakers for Christ in history were not Spirit-filled. Because there's no record of many of them ever speaking in tongues. And I could name them, some of the great reformers, Luther, Zwingli. I could go through some of the great evangelicals, Whitfield, Wesley's, Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody. Now, they had powerful experiences with the Holy Spirit, but in reading about them, I've never been able to find where they spoke in tongues. They may have. But I'm just saying you got to be careful when you say, well, you're not Spirit-filled if you don't have the gift of tongues. Because that's not true. Now, will it help you if you do? It says it will, but I leave it there. If you want it, you have not because you ask not. But here, you're welcome. Tongues or no tongues, blue hair, purple hair, pink hair, no hair, we love you, we want you. You know, you're all welcome here. Amen? Amen. Now, I know what you're wondering. Well, Pastor Jeff, do you have a prayer language? I do. I experienced a heavenly prayer language when I was 18. And I didn't know that it was wrong. I didn't know that it was a controversy. I had just gotten mightily touched by the Holy Spirit as a late teenager. And I went home to my little efficiency apartment. And I was learning guitar. And I was worshiping God. And a prayer language just flowed. And I thought it was totally normal. As a matter of fact, I was thinking, wow, how is the whole world not saved and know Jesus? And how is the whole church not walk? Because this was so incredible. And then I found out it was controversial. But I didn't know that it was. And I've walked in it ever since. But we don't make it a front burner issue here because it's not front burner in the church. Jesus is front burner. The gospel is front burner. Bearing fruit is front burner. However, if you want it, I would encourage you to pray for it. Amen. So far we've looked at the utterance gifts of prophecy and tongues. Now there's one more, the gift of interpretation, and then we're done. What is the gift of interpretation of tongues? The interpretation of tongues is a supernatural verbalization and subsequent interpretation to reveal the meaning of a tongue that has been spoken. The gift operates out of the mind of the Spirit rather than out of the mind of man. The Spirit that spoke the tongue through the person will also interpret the tongue through a person. The gift of interpretation of tongues is clearly not talking about tongues as an earthly language, because then you don't need a supernatural interpretation. You're going to do a translation. I'm not talking about being a Gideon translator. We're talking here about a gift of interpretation. So it's important to distinguish between interpretation and translation of tongues, because the interpreter never understands the tongue he or she is interpreting. For example, the message in tongues, let's say it happens in a corporate setting, may be long and the interpretation short, because the interpretation gives the meaning. On the other hand, one may speak a short time in tongues and then give a lengthy interpretation. Yet still at other times, the interpretation is almost word for word. But as he said, with all the nine gifts, it is by and through the Holy Spirit. Paul writes regarding tongues and corporate gatherings like church meetings. He said, if anybody speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let somebody interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let the speaker in a tongue keep silent and let him speak to himself and to who? God. So to me, this is clear. The gift of interpretation is not for the manifestation of tongues that is an earthly language. The gift of interpretation is for the heavenly language spoken in the presence of others, and it needs an interpreter to be understood. Amen. So if a tongue is spoken in a corporate church gathering, there should be an interpreter, or Paul says, if there's no interpreter, then those who are unbelievers that come walking in, are they not going to say you are out of your mind? Everybody say, yes. Because what does it sound like to them? Gibberish and crazy talk. So there should be an interpretation. And then let me take it a step further and we're going to close. The gift of interpretation can also be used in a person's private prayer time. Because listen to what Paul said. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret, not just in corporate gatherings, but privately. He says in verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful because it's to God. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. Those of you that have a prayer language, has it ever occurred to you to say, okay, after you've prayed in your prayer language alone between you and God, have you ever thought about saying, God, give me the interpretation of what I just prayed? It's a thought. Because it's right here in the Word of God. So you notice how close I'm sticking to the Word of God here tonight. I'm just really close. I'm hugging it tight. I'm hugging the Word tight tonight. Because I want you to know this is not Jeff-isms. This is the teaching of Scripture. All right? So in closing, here's the utterance gifts. Say them with me. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. How long has it been since you, and I'm putting me in here too, because this searched my heart, studying it. How long has it been since I boiled and burned for the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How long has it been since I boiled and burned for a move of the Holy Spirit? Well, I can say that has been real for me for some time now. But I can tell you, when it comes to the gifts, hey, he says, I want you to boil. I want you to burn. I want you to long for, pine for, pursue, ask God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wants to gift you and me.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.